All right, Hebrews chapter something, 12. Hebrews 12. Announcements, we don't have anything going on till, let's see. Yeah, that's in a few weeks. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. So the subject this evening is faith's patience. And, you know, the context here, Hebrews, we're in the last days is who he's addressing. He's addressing the Hebrews in the last days and encouraging them to press on. But there's stuff for us to learn too. Lots of things here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Let's pray, and then we will talk about faith's patience. Faith's patience. Father, I thank you for each soul that's here tonight. I pray you'd feed your flock. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. Lord, I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for your words. Everybody's getting off of work and just normal routine of the week. I pray that they get a little boost here tonight, get something from you. And Lord, I do pray for Barry. I pray for Nikki. Get home safely. Pray for Barry. Lord, I know we'll be praying for him a little bit later tonight too, but do pray that you'd give him a good report. You'd give the doctors wisdom, and Lord, give him grace and comfort, both he and Nancy and the family in this time. And I thank you for him, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. All this deals with patience, patience of faith. And he likens faith to a race, not a 40-yard dash or anything, but like a marathon, something that's going to take a while. And so there's got to be some planning involved. There's got to be some consideration of surroundings and several things going on here. But just show you point by point here as we go through these verses. First thing he says is this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." So the testimony of the previous winners of the race. What you just read in Hebrews 11 were testimonies of previous folks who had won the race, won their race. They completed it successfully. They were faithful, and the highlight of their lives was the faith that they displayed, and that was what was on display here in Hebrews 11. And so they were witnesses to what? They were witnesses to faith's work in their lives. And so Paul says, I think Paul wrote this, Paul says, so you're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and therefore move on forward just like they did. That's the idea. And then he uses Jesus Christ as an example, as the example, really. And we'll deal with that in a minute. But the point is patience. You know, you might have heard people use faith as a way of getting what they want. You know, people sometimes say you just got to have faith. Faith is not a way of getting what you want. Faith is a way of you participating in what God wants. It's not a means of you giving God your your list of presents you want, and you just have enough faith, and he just gives it to you. Faith is your opportunity to participate in what he wants. And so we went through this list, and you saw a variety of circumstances people were in. You saw a variety of outcomes. Some people died as a result of their faith. Some people saw children resurrected as a result of their faith. I mean, it was just a variety of circumstances, all dealing with what God wanted out of the generation, the situation, all those things. And so the testimony of the previous winners, you're surrounded, he said, by so great a cloud of witnesses, not to people getting what necessarily what they wanted out of life, but being able to function and being able to participate in what God wanted out of their lives. And so that's what faith is. It's a way to participate. It's not like rubbing a magic lamp. You know, you just got to have enough faith and you'll get whatever you're looking for. It's not like that. It's about getting in line with what God wants. And it's an opportunity to get in line with what God wants. So how do you do that? He says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. First thing he says is, let us lay aside every weight. All right, if you're going to run a race, obviously you're not going to try to carry a backpack or try to carry a bunch of stuff with you. You're going to try to be as light as possible if your purpose is to win the race. Now, if your purpose isn't to win the race, then you'll probably carry a bunch of baggage with you because you don't understand you're in the race. And that's one of the things, I guess, is trying to be explained here. You're in a race, or the Hebrews here in a race, but that can translate to us, to lay aside the weight, because the point is to finish the race. And you're not going to burden yourself with stuff if you want to finish the race. So he says, let us lay aside every weight, and I'll stop there, the treasured burdens. Some of the things, you know, if you're in a marathon, if you're a runner, if you're participating in something like that, you understand the goal is to finish, is hopefully try to finish first, try to finish the race. And so you understand you're not going to add burdens to what you're doing, because you understand the purpose of what you're doing. I mean, you understand the goal here. The only reason someone would add burdens to their race is because they don't understand they're in the race. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand what they're participating in. And I guess you could apply that to Christians who sometimes we don't understand what we're participating in, so you add burdens to the race because you don't understand you're running a race. And you know, I give you an example in Hebrews 11. Moses forsakes Egypt. Okay, Moses is in line in Egypt to become probably a Pharaoh or something. I mean, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. So he's probably in line to become a very high political figure, if not the Pharaoh of Egypt. And from a one perspective, or maybe one Christian perspective that some people might have, would be, well, if you get to that position, Moses, just think of how much you can do for God at that position. Right? I mean, that's what people might think. If I get in this position, if I get more wealth, if I get more, you know, influence here, just think of what you could possibly do for God. The reality is, if Moses doesn't forsake Egypt, he doesn't do anything for God. You understand? If he pursues that track, if he follows that line, if he accepts all of what Egypt has to offer, and he reasons in his mind and says, well, if I get to this point, if I get this influence, I'll really be able to do something for God now. The reality is, if he got to that point, he wouldn't be useful to God anymore. That wasn't God's plan with Moses, and that wasn't what God wanted to do. He wanted his people to get out of Egypt. This is what, I mean, try to apply it to our Christianity today. People think, if I pursue bigger and better options, and I'm not saying, you know, if the Lord puts some things in your way, you know, great in the way of work and things like that. But so often, people abandon what God's doing to pursue bigger and better things with the idea, once I get bigger and better things, just imagine what I'll be able to do for God. If Moses used that reasoning, he would have never done anything for God. Because he would have never abandoned the thing that was keeping Israel out of God's will. Here's the thought. I mean, people stop sitting under preaching. They stop being a part of a church family. They stop to pursue a bigger and better bank account, a bigger and better whatever it is. Just pursue something bigger and better. And the idea is, just wait till I can really do something for God. The fact of the matter is, you said, just wait. My faith will be increased and I'll be able to step out of the race and then buy my way back into the race later on. You understand? I'll be able to step out of the race temporarily, put all of this stuff God's doing on hold, and then later on in my life, I'll be able to buy my way back into the race when I have some significant influence and money and whatever else. The problem is, or one of the problems is, once you step out of the race, you're not pursuing, you're out of the race. This is not, there's no time out here. There's no, let's take a break from all this so we can do this, or let's stop being a part of what God's doing so we can pursue our own interest, and after we pursue our own interest, I'll get my way back into the race somehow. If Moses had that logic, he would have never led Israel out of Egypt. He would have stayed in Egypt. He would have risen to the top in Egypt. And he would have done nothing for God. But he would have had all the influence. He would have had all the riches. He would have had all of that. But you go back there and you read Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. The idea, you know, you take a step out of the race. You take a little hiatus out of the race. So you can do something for God later. You're not doing anything for God now. And the reality is you won't do anything for God later. It doesn't work that way where I take a break. You say, well, God's given me this opportunity. Be careful. Maybe the devil gave you this opportunity. The devil gave Moses the opportunity in Egypt. He had anything he wanted in Egypt. The point is, the burdens, if you can be convinced to carry burdens with you that you don't think are burdens, the devil will successfully get you out of the race with your consent. With you saying, yes, this is the way I need to go so I can do bigger and better things for God. And the devil has, it's not that... It's not that you'll be in a position to do bigger and better things and all that. It's he's convinced you to abandon what God's doing. Not that God gave you an opportunity. It's the devil gave you an opportunity. When I read this, let us lay aside every weight. The thought that came to mind is, what in the world is a runner doing carrying weight? Why would he be convinced that this was a good idea? Well, one of two things. He doesn't understand he's in the race. Or he thinks these burdens aren't burdens. They're treasures to hold on to. And he doesn't understand these aren't treasures. These are weights that are keeping him away from the work of God here. All right, so he says, let us lay aside every weight. All right, now I know he's talking to Hebrews. I know it's the last days and all that stuff, but trying to make some application for us here. Faith is not a means to get what others have. Faith is a means to not need what others have. Faith is a way that you don't have to function. You don't have to borrow the principles of the world or the mindset of the world to please God, because the reality is the mindset of the world doesn't please God. Faith is it's not a means to get what others. It's not a means to going back to the beginning. It's not a means to get what you want. It's a means to get on board with what God's doing. He says, "Build on your faith," over in Peter. So without faith, you can't progress. And if the devil can convince you to step out of the race, and convince you, hey, somewhere down the road you'll get back in. Don't worry about it. Well, you're out of the race. There's no guarantee you ever get back into the race. I'll deal with that a little bit more as we go on here. All right, so he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's a good way of putting it. The sin which doth so easily beset us. This thing is, it's not difficult. It's easy to get into sin. Sin is easy. It's easy. It's easy to take a break from the race. It's easy to step out. It's easy to quit. That's easy. The temptation to sin. Sin comes easy. It's the easy way out of the race. So he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before. So if you're going to run the race, you're going to run it with patience. You're going to be in it for the long haul. Can you imagine this? All right. The race is for the long haul. You imagine somebody in the race, and then they stop midway through the race. And then they say, you know what? I had a really good start. I think I've done well up to here. I think I'll go ahead and bow out now. I mean, I'm getting tired. It's, when I got off the line, it was really good. I had a real good start. So based on that, you know, I ran the first 100 really well. I think I'm done. I'm done. Now you say that's would be silly if you watch someone in the Olympics do something like that. Just stop the race. They're out because they had a good start. Well, that's a Christian who says, you know, I was a part of some big things back there, and, you know, we'll just kind of muddle through the rest of this. You know, way back when, you know, we really had it going on way back when, and, you know, now, you know, I'll just kind of coast here. And well, that's like a runner saying, I had a good start, so based on my good start, I'll be done with it. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If your idea, if you have the mindset of winning the race, of running the race, of finishing the race, what you've been convinced of now is the race isn't really that important. Whatever little aspect of the race that you thought was important is only important, and that's the aspect you're going to focus on. Where God's saying, if you want to run the race, you can run it with patience. You pace yourself. And be careful about looking back, and be careful about trying to go too fast, and just run this thing balanced, patient, pick a pace, run the pace, and don't stop running for whatever reason. It's, you know, well, we had a good thing back then. Now, we'll just kind of coast along. Taking a pace. He says, run with patience the race that is set before us. And then he says this, looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, this little phrase here has been misused to, I believe in eternal security, but that's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about Jesus Christ being the author and finisher of your faith while you sit on the couch and let him finish your faith. This is talking about encouraging a believer to run just like Jesus Christ ran, who had his eyes on the finish line and finished his course. And so he set the example of someone who started well, ran well, and finished well. And he set the example, and Paul is saying, all right, look to him. He's an example. He's the example, the author and finisher. And it's not a, because I've heard so many guys, you take that verse and it's like, all right, he's the author and he's the finisher and I just kind of hang out. That it has nothing to do with eternal security. It has to do with someone running a race and looking to Jesus Christ who ran the race, because it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, like a finish line, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, so he pushed through, despising the shame, understanding that godliness came with certain social stigma about it, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you train your vision on Jesus Christ. It's not a verse about you and I sitting around while Jesus Christ finishes our faith. That's not anything to do with what he's saying. It has to do with someone running a race who finished the race, who for the joy that was set before him endured some things, despised some things, and then is set down at the right hand of God because he finished the course. Paul said, I finished my course. The idea is running a race. It's trying to encourage believers to stay in the race. All right, he's the model of someone who endured suffering, who despised, like I said, the social stigma that obedience to God comes with, and it always comes with that. And then he says in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So when you come up against a hard spot, or you know, I imagine most of you guys have done something, either athletic wise or work wise, where you just had to push through to finish the job. You just had to push through. You just got to go. There's not really in some cases you feel like there's not really a choice in the matter. You just got to push through and get to the end. That's the idea. You push through to get to the end, to finish the race. In a race, you know, your muscles start cramping, you need water, all that kind of thing. And you push through. And he says, lest you faint in your minds. I mean, if you're going to give up, you're going to give up mentally before you give up physically. And if you give up mentally, you've given up. But you'll give up mentally before you give up physically. He says, lest you be wearied, lest you be faint in your minds, and faint in your minds. And then he says, verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Wow, that's a... looks like there's some temptation coming that way. But the idea of faith's patience, all of these verses, I mean, really almost this entire chapter, and I thought about doing the whole chapter, but there's so many verses here, so many other things to deal with. The entire thing is about patience. It's about running. It's about continuing. It's about enduring. It's about avoiding unnecessary burdens, unnecessary things that would hold you down from keeping from running, and I imagine there's probably I mean, here you are on a Wednesday night. Hopefully you're running a race, but I imagine there could be people in church on a Wednesday night who have stopped running the race. You show up, you know, just here. But I imagine there's a lot more folks that have stopped running the race. They claim to be Christians. Maybe they are Christians. They're just out of the race. The idea of all this, keep running the race. Faith is patience. It's slow and steady. It's avoiding unnecessary burdens or temptations or treasures or sin. It's getting a vision and it's looking towards the finish line. It's recognizing I'm in a race. Looking at the finish line, what does it say about Jesus Christ who for the joy set before him? I mean, there's some things you and I ought to set before us. There's a purpose to all this. There's a purpose to running the race. There's joy at the end of that. So faith's patience. There's the testimony of the previous winners. There's the treasured burdens that people want to carry. There's the temptation to sin. There's finding a pace in this whole thing. There's training your vision on the finish line and looking to the other examples, particularly Jesus Christ, and running and running and staying in the race. So that is the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12.